Welcome, dear listeners, to this week's Afternoon Satsang. As always, you've been joined by Prem and Arvind, live from our studios in Prashanthi Nilayam. As we promised last week, we are going to continue with the Chennai Water Project, which we were speaking about for the last couple of weeks. We know that this fortnight is meant to be for the Conversations with Bhagwan episode, but we thought it would be in the fitting of things to complete this, as there is one last portion about this project and the events that surrounded it. We wanted to speak about that event, and that's why we're extending this satsang till this week too, and we'll come back to the Conversations with Swami next week. We spoke about the history of the Chennai Water Project and how the water project progressed itself. We'll ask Arvind to give us a short summary of that. After that, I think almost 3 years after that, there was an interesting event, and that interesting event had even more interesting history to it, which dated back almost a decade. And that's what we're going to talk about. And today we'll also be joined shortly by another member of Radio Sai. We could well call him that because he is very much part of the team, Brother Sai Giridhar. And he's going to join us for one particular reason. I think we'll reveal that as and when the time comes. For now, let's invite Arvind to join all of us. Sairam, Arvind.
Sairam, Prem. And yes, as you rightly said, we are reaching a kind of the climax of this entire Chennai Water Project. To quickly recap what we have enjoyed in the satsang so far, is that Madras, or Chennai as it is called now, has been a city with water shortage ever since its founding by its British fathers, because it was just a village, a seaside village by the name Madras Patnam, where the British settlers first came, and then they started settling there, and therefore the city grew along with it. Since Madras was in the rain shadow region, it never received proper rains from the southwest monsoons. The northeast monsoons were fickle and you couldn't depend on them, because of which an elaborate system of reservoirs and tanks all around the city were made by the British. But as the city grew and mushroomed into something beyond anything what anybody imagined, all these water sources became absolutely inadequate to provide water to Chennai. And Chennai is among the four metropolitan cities of India, the other three being Calcutta, Delhi and Mumbai, Bombay. So in the south it is Chennai and Madras. Multiple governments, successive state and central governments tried to provide water to this city, but they failed over and over again. At the same time, you know, in the previous satsangs we also went through how the city of Madras has a special place in Swami's heart. Obviously, because of the devotees there, all the initial devotees, many of them were from Madras, from the city of Madras. There's also an administrative reason, because during those days, Puttaparthi in Anandapur district came under the governance of the Madras presidency, and therefore for any administrative related matters, Bhagwan had to travel to Madras to do that. So in both these ways, Madras was quite close to his heart. And we discussed how what Swami did was something phenomenal, something that the combined might of the state and central governments couldn't achieve in a proper way in 13 years. Bhagwan achieved it to perfection in 13 months. That is what we discussed, and we saw how in the year 2004, the Kandaleru Pundi Canal was inaugurated in that sense, with water flowing to it. On Bhagwan's birthday, in fact, the water was released from the Kandaleru reservoir, and on the 27th of November, which happened to be Bhagwan's birthday according to the Telugu almanac, the waters reached zero point, that is the state boundary between the states of Andhra Pradesh and Tamil Nadu, and the waters were received by a group of 50 people chanting Vedam, doing bhajans and all that with lot of love. And a few days after that, a few weeks after that, December 19th to be precise, more than 4,000 or 3,000 people from the city of Chennai came to Puttaparthi in about 50-60 buses to express their gratitude. I don't know if we covered that part in detail.
Right, but we made mention of it, I think.
Yeah, right. So that is the story so far we had discussed. But as we had also left all our listeners last week, only about 80% of this water project had been completed, because there was a remaining 20%, which is from the zero point to the reservoir Pundi, which is near Chennai, that had been left incomplete because of the political scenario in those days. The chief minister of the state of Tamil Nadu, Ms. Jayalalitha, she had her plans of getting water from the Kaveri.
Right, through the Veeranam project.
Through the Veeranam project, because of which this Krishna Waters canal was not given importance, because of which the canal from zero point to Pundi had remained unfinished.
And in also, spite I think there was a poor monsoon that particular time. Right. In fact, I recall one interesting incident.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, we have with us Brother Sai Giridhar, who's joined us. Sai Ram Giridhar.
Sai Ram Giridhar.
And we'll come to the reason why he's part of the satsang. Of course, we're always happy to have him with us. Going to this incident I was about to narrate, I mean, as we said, though the project was completed in 2004, for a couple of years there was no water because of the failing monsoon. And I recall one, Swami had called one of my classmates for an interview. And Swami had called another person who was actually a functionary from Chennai and his son for an interview along with him. And in the course of the interview, Swami asked these people from Chennai, is water coming now? And the son, being the more innocent of the two, he said, no, Swami, there's no water. And the father pinched him. and the son said, yes, Swami, by Swami's grace, we have no problem. He said, you know, literally, like, it's not right to tell Swami that, you know, your project is not yet giving water. But Swami gave a very mischievous smile to the student who was sitting there, you know, almost saying that, I know what is happening. You know, even the monsoon failing is pretty much Swami's working in that sense. Because there was a, as we had mentioned, there was this beautiful conclusion that had to happen to the whole project. Apart from just the canal making, there was another different, you know, completion in that sense. And it all started off with a promise that Swami made in that sense, isn't it?
Absolutely. In fact, Bhagwan referred to that promise during his discourse on the Ugadi day, the 20th of March, 2007. You know, Swami said in his discourse, this is what he said. I think we'll just directly read out Swami's discourse excerpt. Swami said, Parvati is the goddess who supplies water to the entire world. Lord Ishwara granted this boon to her. Ganga is another form of goddess Parvati. That is why the river Ganga is worshipped as Ganga Devi. Some years ago, I visited the East Godavari district in Andhra Pradesh. I had to travel by car to reach Chennai, Madras. There is a place called Red Hills near Chennai where a huge reservoir was built to store water. I was told that drinking water was being supplied from that reservoir to the entire city of Chennai. But there was no water in the reservoir itself at that time. How can water be supplied to the city? There were, of course, a few places in the reservoir where rainwater had collected as small cesspools. I saw some children drinking polluted water from those cesspools. I was also informed that the same water was being used for drinking and cooking as well. There were a few devotees traveling along with me in the car. They inquired, Swami, when would this reservoir get filled? For everything, there is a time, action, reason and duty, which always go together. Keeping these aspects in view, I told them, I will not step into this city of Chennai. It is only after supplying water for drinking and irrigation purposes and the people of Chennai have started drinking that pure water that I will visit Chennai again. 10 years passed by, I fulfilled my promise of supplying drinking water to the entire city of Chennai. Besides, it is also being used for irrigation purposes. Accordingly, I visited Chennai during January this year. You know, that reference that Swami makes to visiting Chennai in January that year, that is in the January of 2007, that is the concluding climax we are waiting for. And as you rightly said, it began a decade before. In 1997 was Bhagwan's last visit to Madras, and that is when he vowed to himself that until and unless I provide water to the city of Chennai, I am not going to be stepping into this. And that is what he accomplished. It had not yet been accomplished in 2004, because as we said, only 80% was done. But then something grand was cooking. And that is what it is in the January of 2007 that it unfolded.
And that is one of the reasons why we have Brother Sai Giridhar with us, because as always, whenever Swami goes on a trip, Swami always blesses a few students with the opportunity to accompany him, be it Kodaikanal every year, or to the cities of Delhi, Chennai, Mumbai, whenever Swami would go to any of these places, or later to Shimla and Hanshi, Swami always would take a few students along with him. And in that trip that Swami made to Chennai, I think Swami specifically took a few bhajan singers and speakers. And that's always a part of Swami's group. But in this particular trip, Swami, I think, specifically said, I want some speakers who can also speak in Tamil. I think that's what one of the things which Swami had said. So, and Sai Giridhar was part of that group.
And so, Giridhar, it makes us wonder as to when Swami is visiting Chennai, because, you know, we have been discussing the water project so far. So, what is the reason that Swami is going to Chennai for the water project, but he's taking along so many students, speakers and singers along with him? That's the question that pops up in the mind.
You know, Swami was not only going there to quench the thirst of the people of Chennai in terms of providing them water, but, you know, the drought that was caused by Swami not visiting the city of Chennai for many, many years actually kind of tormented the devotees much more, I should say, because those are the scenes that we got to see when we reached Chennai. The love that the devotees had for Swami, the hundreds that would throng the ashram of Swami, which is Sundaram, Mandir of Swami, which is Sundaram there in Chennai, and their devotion, in fact, it would be important to acknowledge and note that for the Atirudra Mahayagna, which was kind of the context that Swami created to, you know, bless his devotees and give them the joy of his darshan, sparshan and sambhashan.
I think this we should tell to our listeners, that whenever Bhagwan does any action, it has multiple consequences and he blesses multiple people. In fact, at that point in time when Swami went to Chennai, it was not actually for the water project. He went in order to be present as the Yajna Purusha for the Atirudra Mahayagna. And one Atirudra Mahayagna was held in the August of 2006 at Prashanthi Nilayam, which was very successful and it was so fantastic. So many people had thrilling experiences with that. And that thrill only multiplied when Bhagwan said that I bless the city of Chennai with another Atirudra Mahayagna. Though Swami did not physically or directly promise that he would be there, all the devotees were so enthralled that they prepared as if Bhagwan is coming, and Bhagwan actually came.
In fact, the preparations were extraordinary, because during one of those vacations before Swami visited Chennai, I wasn't sure, or I didn't know that I will be part of the
entourage.
The entourage of Bhagwan. So I had gone home. My parents were residing in Chennai at that point of time. I had gone home and we heard that, you know, the Atirudra is going to happen. So there is a medical college, I think it's right. Dr. Ramchandra Medical right. College or something like
the
that.
The ground belonged to them.
Yeah, the ground belonged to them. And we just went in that direction. That place is called Thiruvanmayur in Chennai. Mm-hmm. And we just happened to go there and we heard that this place is being set up. So we wanted to see what's happening. They were actually building a small residence for Bhagwan in that, you know, in that area, hoping that Swami will come and stay there or at mm-hmm. least bless that residence. In fact, when Swami did visit, Swami went to that house
briefly.
He went to briefly and he went to every room, okay. to the kitchen. He saw everything, how the house was made. Swami was very happy. He blessed the, you know, the managers and the directors of the medical college and all that. And more importantly, the way that they transformed, because I have seen that ground being an open, you know, barren ground, and the way it got transformed, I couldn't make out that it was the same. Yeah, into the Yajnashala. And the best part is, see, everybody looks at Swami and says, you know, oh, Swami has everything with him. You know, the Shirdi avatar was a fakir, but, you know, Swami has everything. But even in Prashanthi Nilayam, if we see, Swami's room in Prashanthi Nilayam was so small, you know, an 8x10 room or even smaller, and with just one cot and one cupboard with a mirror.
Very simple.
And if you see, even in Chennai Atirudra, the grandeur of the arrangement, of course, was the stage which was set for Swami, because that was kind of a reflection of the devotees' devotion to Bhagwan. But the arrangement that was made for the devotees there was phenomenal. I mean, such a huge pandal I have never seen in my life, which accommodated thousands and thousands of devotees. Continuously food was being served. there were, you know, youngsters, Seva Dal, Sai organization members who left their company, they left their jobs because they were not given leaves. And they just left their jobs, resigned from their jobs because they wanted to take this opportunity to serve Swami.
So, I think this is a very, very profound and important point because personally, being in Prashantilayam, we have witnessed how multiple times people have come to invite Bhagwan to their place, you know, within India and even abroad. But very, very few of them Swami has agreed to go. And whenever Swami has agreed, I don't know about the earlier years, but in the later years when I was physically present and watching, what I noticed was everybody won over Bhagwan by showing the arrangements they have made for the devotees.
Correct.
That was simply true. Be it Hadshi, be it Delhi, be it Shimla, everywhere they would show, this is the ground, Swami, this is where devotees will be, this is where devotees are being fed, this is where devotees, devotees, devotees. Swami says, you're doing for devotees, I'll come. It's almost like a mantra for us even to this day. If you want Bhagwan to be present where you are, if you want Bhagwan to come where you are, serve the devotee. I think this can be a great mantra for all of us working in the ashram or working anywhere where we wish to have Bhagwan in our midst.
In fact, that was Swami's prime concern always, because Swami would come out, he wouldn't care about, you know, where he is or what is the arrangement for him. He'll always look at, I remember even in Kulwanthal, one beautiful incident happened. Swami was seated in the Ganesh portico, where the current Mahasannidhi is. And Swami was looking ahead, it was raining heavily, this is the rainy season in Parthi, and it was I think this month of July even then, and it was raining so heavily, everybody's attention was on Swami, but Swami's attention was on some 15-20 devotees who were standing outside the Rama gate, you know, where the Rama, Lakshmana, Sita
statues are.
Mandir is there in the ashram. Just outside that gate, they were standing there in the rain having darshan. So Swami called expressly, prasadam distribution was going on, and Swami called some of those boys, and they thought it's regarding the prasadam. And Swami was visibly, you know, upset, and he said, I'm not worried about the prasadam now, look at those 15-20 people, they are standing in rain, first ask them to come in. And it was not 15-20, there were actually many more who were standing in rain.
I remember that day in the so-called VIP region where nobody is allowed to sit, that is the region behind the Rama Sita statue temple, that's the place where only the mobile hospital buses parked, otherwise it's kept empty. All of them were brought in there and all of them were seated.
Yes,
there.
All of them, you know, ladies one side, gents one side, and then everybody was seated. And see, that is Bhagavan's concern. He is worried about us. He was worried about the devotees. That is what is paramount in Swami's mind. And any devotee who serves the other devotee, it is considered the service to the. In fact, Bhagavatam also says that, you know, to receive naivedyam which is offered to the Lord is prasadam. But to have the prasadam which a devotee has partaken in is mahaprasadam. You know, to serve the devotee and to enjoy his joy or their comfort and bliss, I think is the greatest. And it was with this spirit that, you know, you could not have missed this spirit amongst the Sevadal brothers and sisters and the devotees who were organizing the Atirudra Mahayagna. Not just Atirudra Mahayagna, because they had to take care of Sundaram. They had to take care of the Atirudra venue, and then of course there was the conclave, the water conclave, which was specially organized by Swami, for which the chief minister, Shri Karunanidhi Garu, at that time he had invited Swami for the water conclave.
Interestingly, you know, how apparently all this came about is, this is what I got input from Professor G. Venkatraman. He was stating how the citizens, all the citizens meaning the devotees prepared as if Bhagwan is coming, because there was no assurance from Swami that I am going to come to the Atirudram. But they went ahead with all preparations as Bhagwan is coming, and they decided that they would hold a conclave, a conclave of all the citizens of the city of Chennai, where they would want to express their gratitude to Bhagwan. It was around this time that some state public works minister happened to visit Prashantilayam. And as it happens to anybody who visits Prashantilayam, he was bowled over. And once Bhagwan interacted with him, he went back with news to his boss saying that, you know, if Bhagwan is coming to our state, it will be our honor to be with him, because Bhagwan is amazing. And that is what made the Tamil Nadu government get involved, and actually it took over the citizens' conclave, which is a miracle in itself, because as we had discussed last week, Karunanidhi happens to be part of a political party which strongly believes in the principle of atheism, and they don't worship, they don't subscribe to any kind of worship or anything like that, because they are centered and focused only on social reform. And that over-enthusiasm of social reform sometimes reflected as denigration of idols and criticism of religion itself. So such a chief minister who is heading such a party, deciding to be on the dais and welcome Bhagwan, for many people, I think for most of the media outlets in India, more than the water project itself, this seemed like a miracle.
Right, and that is the conclusion which we were talking about, because after this was like 2004, the project was completed, and then of course the remaining 20% was completed, and I think that 20% is yet to complete. Right, it was done between this conclave and just 3 months after that. By then it was completed.
It was in this conclave that, right. I mean, Prem in his eagerness has revealed little suspense. But anyway, we'll come to all that. Dear listeners, I think at this point in time, we'll take a quick little break. On the other side of the break, we will go into more details of the conclave, what happened there, what happened in Chennai, and some amazing insights that we can get from this entire Chennai water supply project. So don't go anywhere. We are coming back with this beautiful discussion on the other side of this break.
Kamala Nayana Karunya Maya.
Welcome back, dear listeners. We were talking about that event which was organized in Chennai to honor Swami's contribution to the water project, which was done for the citizens of Chennai. As Arvind was describing, when they got to know that Swami might visit Chennai for the Atirudra Mahayagnam, which Swami had declared is going to be performed in Chennai, and when they got to know about the citizens' conclave which they were preparing, the government moved swiftly and in fact literally owned up that event, and they wanted to organize it themselves because it was supposed to be an event of eminent citizens coming together and expressing their gratitude to Swami. But it quickly turned out to be a political event, not exactly political event, but an event attended by many, many political luminaries, which included the chief ministers of, I think, three states, apart from Mr. Karunanidhi, and the governor of the state, and the home minister, Mr. Shivraj Patil, who is of course Swami's devotee, and I think the railways minister, Lalu Prasad Yadav, who was the railways minister then.
The ebullient
minister. When all of these people are there, and automatically the event takes a grandeur of a different kind. When Swami is the head of an event, the grandeur which we see is different. But this is a event which even the rest of the world wakes up to. You know,
If Prem could actually make a slip of the tongue to say that it was a political event, one can forgive him, because when you have such stalwarts being present there, you can't wonder anything other than politics. You know, if there is one politician there, maybe it's a social event. But if multiple politicians belonging to multiple parties, which are directly in conflict with each other's ideals and principles, if they are all coming together, it must definitely be something political. But the shocking thing was, not a single poster in that Jawaharlal Nehru Indoor Stadium. Yeah, because there's apparently an outdoor stadium there.
Yes.
And an air-conditioned indoor stadium. In the whole stadium, there was not even one photograph of any of these political bigwigs. That made it clear that either it was an apolitical event or a supra-political event. And the fact that none of their photos were there shows that they were not the chief guest. And the chief guest was not there yet, because the chief guest was at Tiruvanmayur, at the Atirudra Mahayagnam. Bhagwan was the chief guest. And, you know, it must have been I'm just thinking, with one politician, there's so much of security nightmare. What a security nightmare this must have been with so many people. And finally, I think, in a way, it was hijacked by the political people, because I don't think everyone would have been allowed into the stadium also.
The layout was such that, you know, the seating arrangement that is usually there for the indoor games, so the among the audience seating arrangement were all the devotees, right? And where the courts were there, that is where a special seating arrangement was made. And there was, of course, a very, very big stage that was erected there. And the center of the stage was, of course, Bhagwan. And on either sides, you had all these ministers and many senior dignitaries also flanking. And right in front of Bhagwan again were VVIP seating, that is, as you just mentioned, not everybody were allowed in that zone. So you had people from the political parties, the MLAs and the other MPs and, you know, other politicians were also present there. And the entire media was there. You know, you can imagine such a congregation of ministers, and it was a very unique combination. But the ambience was, I should say, completely surcharged, because again, the unique presence of the devotees and the Lord, you know, it has so much power that it changes the ambience. As you are mentioning, one can only expect a political dialogue or, you know, some kind of a political connection when an assembly of such people are there. But the ambience was very different. It was very sacred. And
in fact, I remember Professor G.V. mentioning that though the security people thought that it would be a nightmare, later on, he says that he heard the security person telling that the chief minister himself, that is Karunanidhi himself, asked why don't other political events in the state be so well managed with people disciplined like this. Little did he know that this is the Sai discipline, that the people have taken it on voluntarily from the source, not by force.
In fact, apart from the conclave itself, once the government started preparing for the conclave, they also give a lot of support for the visit of Swami to Chennai itself when it came to the security forces, because as the places were so far apart, Thiruvanmayur where the Yagnam was happening and Sundaram which was in Adiyar, Arkepuram, there it was happening, and so the security had to be, you had the traffic police, you had to coordinate the events, and I was there in Chennai when Swami was there at that time, and some of the darshans used to happen on the main road outside Sundaram. People used to gather, as Giridhar was saying. People were so happy to have Swami in Chennai after so many years that they were actually spoiled for choice whether you go to the Yagnam or you be in Sundaram to have Swami darshan.
Just a aside point here is you're talking about the darshans that used to happen on the roads,
right?
Swami in one of the sessions inside Sundaram mentioned this and said, did you see on the road there are not only Chennaiites but Russians? Swami gave a special emphasis to that and said, did you see the Russians? They were running around. Do you know they don't even have money to travel, and they don't know where to stay? It's an alien land, language is alien to them, but look at their devotion. Even here they follow Swami wherever Swami goes. They are in Puttaparthi, if Swami comes to Chennai they are in Chennai. Did you see them throwing roses? They will come and they'll throw roses on Swami's car. This is how Swami acknowledged the devotees who used to run on the roads, and the Sevadal, of course, who try to maintain the discipline, but a heart that is throbbing for God, it's very difficult to contain.
And it's a different kind of a discipline required, because even the police officers, apparently, they were surprised that with such large crowds, they had very little to do, because the Sevadas themselves were managing so much, and there was a self-restraint when it came to devotees.
No stampeding, no
injuries. Even though that eagerness to see Swami was there, as we all know as students, you want to see Swami when you're on the road. You don't want Swami to see you sometimes. And you don't want to be indisciplined in front of Swami. So that automatically brings a certain amount of self-restraint. You don't, fall in the path and all that kind of thing. They were really surprised. They said, we really didn't have much to do, and we had much to learn from the way the crowd was being managed.
See, when Bhagwan had visited Shimla, I'm just reminded of that because I happened to be there. So there was nothing like an official convoy for Swami. Any of the big wigs or politicians, anybody, they always have a convoy of 10, 15, 20 vehicles. So in Shimla, when Bhagwan got down, I'm saying this because from what I read from Professor G.V.'s article, that's how it is. In Chennai also, there was nothing like a convoy for Bhagwan other than possibly the students following. But so many others joined in. That's what happened in Shimla also. Shimla, finally, when Bhagwan had to go from the airport to the residence, the convoy was about 150 vehicles long. And this was all self-made convoy. I'm sure such a self-made convoy got created in Chennai also. And that convoy would have been bigger than any of the other convoys anybody else had. Official convoy might be just 4 or 5 vehicles with Bhagwan, one security, and a few vehicles for the students.
In fact, the government of Tamil Nadu had issued what is called a Z security protocol, which is given to the highest of authorities in the country. And the convoy, of course, was limited with few cars and few minivans. We were in the minivans. And in fact, it was so critical because there is heavy traffic in Chennai. And if you miss the convoy, if you're not behind Swami, that's it. You have to negotiate the traffic and you are like offset by at least 45 minutes to an hour. In fact, it happened on one of those days that somehow our vehicle missed the convoy just by a bit, And we had to negotiate 45 minutes of extra time just in travel. But otherwise, for Swami, the arrangement that even the state had made, it was so thrilling. You know, you go back to images which we can only imagine literally from Bhagavatam. If Krishna would arrive into say Hastinapur, how they would have welcomed Lord Krishna. You know, what arrangements would have been made in the city. Somehow Chennai assumed that kind of nature, because the Z security ensured that all the traffic lights except for Swami's route would be red. You know, so all the traffics would be parked for a moment, of course, not for too long. But Swami's convoy was given absolute royal treatment by the state.
And the only difference being, you know, we have always many times been caught on the other side of the traffic when a VIP convoy is passing, and how we curse possibly the VIP or the convoy. In this case, it was a thrill even for those people waiting, because many of them would have definitely wanted to come there to just have darshan.
No, they were. In fact, wherever the vehicles were stopped, and they got to know that, you know, it took a few days for them to understand, especially the route from Sundaram to Thiruvanmayur, because Swami was going there regularly. So people along that route understood. In fact, devotees got to know that, okay, Swami is going, this is one nice place to have darshan. So they would go and be at the red signal so that they can have darshan. And people were standing there for darshan as well, which is very unique, and this is all something unimaginable, and it is so sublime, you know, that experience of seeing the devotees yearning and pining to have the darshan of the Lord. And of course, coming back to the conclave, you know, Swami was seated on top, and Swami gave, there were speeches made by
Before we go into the description of the conclave itself, I've got the introduction of that conclave.
Because, oh, yes, please.
You know, Venkatraman sir made a mention of that. Usually, because this is also very important, why it was a political gathering, but not in that sense. Generally, most of these gatherings in the city of Chennai or anywhere in Tamil Nadu, it starts with an invocatory prayer to either the goddess of Tamil, or there's a, you know, there are special invocatory prayers. But for this occasion, they had composed one invocatory prayer, which was, you know, in praise of Swami, and more importantly, which was a reflection of Swami's message. Because it's in the language of Tamil, so only few of us will be able to understand that. But it's very good. It was, in fact, sung by one of the very preeminent singers. I forget his name. His father was also a very famous singer. We'll probably play that part. This was how the conclave actually started, and then it would be very nice to listen to some description of the event in that conclave itself.
The Chennai Citizens Conclave is honored by your presence this morning and welcomes you to this function, in which it expresses gratitude on behalf of the citizens of Chennai to Bhagawan Baba for orchestrating the move for Chennai to receive Krishna River water in abundance, relieving Chennai's suffering. On November 23rd, 2004, Bhagawan Baba's 79th birthday, the Kandaleru Reservoir gates were opened. It was a fulfillment of a vision, a manifestation of love in action. In this, the year of water, 2007, we offer our thanks at the feet of Bhagawan Baba. Ladies and gentlemen, we shall start the function with an invocation. Manida Tattvangale Yeduthu Kattum Inda Padale Yetriyavar கவிஞர் நெமிலி எழில்மணி அவர்கள். எல்லோரும் அமர்ந்தே இருக்குமாறு கேட்டுக்கொள்கிறோம். இந்த பாடலை இசையமைத்து பாடுகிறார் டாக்டர் சீர்காழி சிவசிதம்பரம் அவர்கள். The lyrics of கவிஞர் நெமிலி எழில்மணி, celebrating human values, is set to music and rendered by டாக்டர் சீர்காழி சிவசிதம்பரம். Please remain seated during the invocation.
ஏழையின் சிரிப்பில் இறைவனை காண்போம், இதுதான் இன்றைய கடமை என்போம். எளியவர் வாழ்வு வளம் பெற நாளும் உழைப்பது இன்றைய தேவை என்போம். ஏழையின் சிரிப்பில் இறைவனை காண்போம், இதுதான் இன்றைய கடமை என்போம். எளியவர் வாழ்வு வளம் பெற நாளும் உழைப்பது இன்றைய தேவை என்போம். ஒருவன் உணவு பெறவில்லை எனினும் உலகை அழிப்பேன் என்றான். உயர்ந்த உள்ளம் பாரதி எண்ணம் ஓங்கிடச் செய்திடல் வேண்டும். வாடிய பயிரை கண்டே வாடிய வள்ளலார் நினைவை போற்று ஓடியே சென்று கடலில் வீழும் நதிகள் பாதையை மாற்று. நதிகளை இணைத்து விதிகளை மாற்றி நன்மை செய்திடல் வேண்டும். நாளும் வாடும் பயிர்களை மீண்டும் நலம் பெறச் செய்திடல் வேண்டும். பாரத நாடு பழம் பெறும் நாடு என்பதை மறந்திடலாமா? பாதியில் வந்த சாதிகள் மறந்து சாதனை படைத்திட வேண்டும். ஒற்றுமை ஓங்கி வேற்றுமை நீங்க உறுதிகள் எடுத்திடல் வேண்டும். ஒற்றுமை ஓங்கி வேற்றுமை நீங்க உறுதிகள் எடுத்திட வேண்டும். உலகம் சமநிலை அடைந்தே என்றும் அமைதியில் வாழ்ந்திட வேண்டும். இன்பமே சூழ வேண்டும், எல்லோரும் வாழ வேண்டும். நல்லோர் நலமுடன் நீடு வாழ வேண்டும். ஸ்ரீ சத்யசாயிநாதன் காட்டும் வழியினில் அனைவரும் சென்று வாழ வேண்டும். ஸ்ரீ சத்யசாயிநாதன் காட்டும் வழியினில் அனைவரும் செல்வோம். சந்ததம் அவரின் பதமலர் பணிந்து சகலமும் பெற்று வாழ்வோம். சகலமும் பெற்று வாழ்வோம். சாயிநாதன் பதம் பணிந்து சகலமும் பெற்று வாழ்வோம்.
So that's how the conclave officially began, with that invocatory prayer. And more importantly, or more interestingly for us, the master of ceremonies was Mr. P.C. Ramakrishna, and that voice would have been familiar to many of the people who listen to Radio Sai regularly, because seen our documentaries, because very often you would hear that voice saying that you're listening to Radio Sai Global Harmony. He's a devotee of Swami who has helped us a lot in giving voiceovers for our documentaries and signature tunes for Radio Sai. So he was the master of ceremonies who introduced, and Mr. Sirgari performed that invocatory prayer, and he also later performed here, I think in 2015 or 14 he had given a performance here. So that's how the conclave began, and I think Sai Giridhar can take over and tell us about how it went along.
In fact, there were a few speeches given by the politicians, and I vividly remember a very humorous and interesting part of those talks. Lalu Prasad Yadavji, who was the then railway minister in India, he began to give a speech, and you know, he's a very famous politician, and
he's a very ebullient politician who always has a very, very, very sharp tongue, and he is coming from the state of Bihar, yes, he has his own sets of pluses and minuses, but he is known as a very, very open speaking. He doesn't care or
hold back anything.
Yes.
In fact, that's what he did that day, and he went onto the platform, and to the amazement and joy of everybody there, he declared that Lalu Prasad Yadav doesn't believe in any Babas or Swamis. I have seen many Babas and Swamis, and I know they are not true. But believe me, today if an atheist like the chief minister who is sitting here and Lalu Prasad themselves are declaring this from this platform, you must believe that Sai Baba is God, is God, is God. And I know this from my own experience, you know. That's how he thundered from his podium. And then to the humor and also to the excitement of all present there. Everybody
clapped. In
fact, clapped.
I think Swami had even visited Karunanidhi's house the previous evening.
Yes.
Which was itself another news.
Yes, in fact, it was a big... the following days, all over Chennai, the walls of the streets were all filled with the posters of Swami sitting, Karunanidhi sitting next to Swami in his residence. And those photos were literally viral. I think the cell phone had not picked up to a great extent at that time. Mm-hmm. It was more viral on the walls of the streets of Chennai.
See, it is us, we judge people and say that this is a devotee. He deserves God's love. He is an atheist, he doesn't. But I think when you look from the lens of pure love, it is the atheist who requires God more than anybody else.
Absolutely.
And Bhagwan, it's amazing. It's amazing, Bhagwan. Here is a person who is part of a political party that has actually tarnished the image of any God because all gods are one. But Bhagwan was so loving, so amazing. And that is a phenomenal thing because I think when Karunanidhi himself spoke on stage that day, he said that if this is God, I don't mind bowing down to God.
In fact, Swami had materialized the ring to one of the, key members but subordinates of the Chief Minister, Karunanidhi. And, Swami did not give anything to Karunanidhi. Mm-hmm. Because he was the subordinate, the minister who received the gift, divine gift from Bhagwan. So he felt a little awkward. So he kind of prayed to Swami and said, Swami, can you please give, materialize a gift even for my boss.
For my boss here. Otherwise, he'll take out this from me, possibly.
then Swami looked at... See, these are transformative stories. And I'll tell you what happened after this incident. Swami, held Karunanidhi's hand and said, no, I'm not going to give him a ring, because I have given him my heart.
Wow.
when so much love, the two of the supreme... In fact, if you look at the stage, the conclave stage reminded me... See, there were ministers who were managing the greatest country on earth. Swami says that Bharat is the engine of the entire world. All the great countries are like the bogies which is being drawn by the engine which is Bharat. So here were ministers of such a great nation, Bharat, who were sitting with the, in Swami's own word, Swami says, I am Satya Sai Shat Chakravarti. With the emperor of the universe, one who created the entire cosmos, with that Shat Chakravarti, they were sitting, the ministers of... So, it was a very unique setting and that one touching statement which Swami, told, and in that I'm sure he melted the heart of Karunanidhi, because the very next day in Sundaram, this I would like to share, that there was a special request from the chief minister made. And one of the seniors in the organization, personally requested Swami and placed the chief minister's prayer at his lotus feet and said that the chief minister wants a 1-foot by 1-foot photograph of Bhagwan, which he wants to put in his bedroom so that every day when he gets up, he can have the darshan of Swami.
Wow.
From somebody who, in fact, Swami has described this, for somebody who in procession would take idols of Ganesha and put, slipper garlands and various other derogatory methods were adopted by his political party. For him to, ask for Swami's photograph to be put in his bedroom, so that every day he gets inspired when he sees Swami. That is the story of transformation. And as Bhagwan says, my greatest miracle is the transformation of the heart. So that we were.
These are the waters of pure love that Bhagwan wanted to give to make the water project Purnam, because of which he did not complete that 25 kilometers from zero point to Pundi. And the promise to fulfill that actually came as part of the conclave. But I think that will wait for a little break, because we'll take a quick little break. On the other side of the break, we'll continue with the happenings at the conclave and also the grand conclusion to the water project of Chennai.
Mm-hmm. தவம் செய்தா
Welcome back, dear listeners. We are at the Citizens Conclave on the 21st of January 2007, where the entire city of Chennai had gathered, had planned to gather at least to express gratitude to Bhagwan, but that plan got hijacked because the political bigwigs, everyone came there and made it an opportunity for them to express gratitude. And Giridhar already mentioned about how Lalu Prasad Yadav was quite ebullient and quite frank in his statement. What's interesting is, and this was what everybody, the media, the non-Sai devotees, if I can say so, were looking forward to, where was to the speech of the Chief Minister Karunanidhi, because he comes from a party, political party, that is known for its atheistic views and in fact anti-theistic views also. So what would he speak? How would he share a dais with what the media called as a godman? You know, this godman term, actually, it really puts me off. It is so irritating. You don't know whether he's man or god, so you just use both the words. It's like that, and it's so stupid in my opinion. Okay, either call him a great man or god, because this is what happens when you're confused, I feel. Anyway, they wanted to see how would Karunanidhi respond to Swami. And Giridhar, it will be interesting to know what did the Chief Minister speak on that day.
In fact, all of us were eager to listen to Mr. Karunanidhi, because we wanted to know that in such a setting, with so many devotees also assembled there and Swami being there, what would he say? And in fact, we were all very thrilled by his statements. And he of course is a very eminent writer himself. He has written many scripts, screenplays for Tamil movies and all that. He's a very well known playwright as well.
He's got some title, right?
Kalingir.
What does that mean?
Artist means of a superior quality. He worded his statements very, of course he is blessed by Mother Saraswati that way.
Though he doesn't believe in God.
So the way he said, see, here is someone who people worship as God, but who himself says that service to man is service to God. Manava Seva is Madhava Seva. So he said that one thing is enough for me to believe in such a God. So, because I also believe in the same thing, that service to humanity is service to God. You know, so that is really how you worship God, by serving humanity. So this was something that he said, and it kind of captured everybody's heart as well there. He was also politically right from his own ideologies, mm-hmm. in a sense. But that was really something that touched the hearts of listeners on that day.
On one hand, the media might say that he's saying this to be politically right, but having known that the previous day he has made this request that he would like to have a photograph of Bhagwan, I think that shows that it was not the case of him just being politically right. That was an expression of his possibly newfound devotion, because I remember he also said that till Swami came, while Karnataka and Andhra had Tannir, we had only Kannir. In Tamil, it means they had the water, we had the tears. But it is Swami who has ensured that our tears have got wiped out and we have also got this water. For somebody who is the head of the state to acknowledge this itself is amazing, because we saw that it was because of this inability to acknowledge that the last 20% of the project had also itself not progressed, because the previous Chief Minister was not ready to, you know, say that here is somebody who has done something for the people of my state which I could not do. For that reason, it had been stalled for so much time, and now here was somebody who was accepting that we have had only tears, and it's only because of Swami that we are having these smiles. And in fact, it was during his speech that he requested Swami so many things. One was definitely, he said that please do complete the canal, please go ahead. You know, it is so amazing, this is how divine works. There was this chief minister who said that no, we don't want this. And Swami said fine. Yes anevariki, yes anera, no anevariki, no anera, yesu, no, no tikikani, sai ki sarvam, yes, yes, yes. Swami always says yes for everything. And here was another chief minister who was coming and telling Swami, please come and complete. And apart from that, of course, I think he asked Swami whether Swami can clean up the river Kuvam. He wanted to delegate all the government job onto Swami. That's a different part of the story. But he prayed sincerely because he felt that what Bhagwan had started, this Kandaleru Pundi Canal, is not just a Kandaleru Pundi Canal or an irrigation or a drinking water project. It is something of the divine, and it is good when it's completed by the divine itself. That's why, though we can see later on that it was not a huge expensive project, or it is not as if the Tamil Nadu government didn't have resources to do it. It was a very simple thing in terms of resources and manpower and other things. But he said that no, Bhagwan, you only have to complete this. And I think in his speech he requested Swami also to complete this project. After that, of course, was as it always happens, the hero's discourse. I mean, even in Prashantilayam or Vrindavan, wherever, the final, the grand finale is always by Bhagwan, and I think that was how it happened even at the Citizens Conclave.
Yeah, in fact, Swami's discourse that day was very, very powerful, I should say, because already this was 2007 and Swami was physically kind of taking some support to walk and also stand for the discourse. But the way he thundered that day was something very, very scintillating.
Interestingly, on that day, Karunanidhi spoke sitting in his chair.
Yes.
And everyone expected Swami also to do the same thing because Swami has had his hip fracture and everything. But Swami got up to speak, that's what I hear.
Yeah, and with very, very minimal support, Swami in fact stood, through the discourse, and it was a thundering discourse, very, very powerful discourse. And one very, very touching thing that I would like to, which I remember is, amidst all this extravagance in terms of emotion and in terms of the event itself, not that there was extravagance in expenditure, but in terms of the grandeur of the event, and amidst all that, hundreds, thousands of people assembled there, all the media, all the government officials, and Swami in fact was making many, many hints and strong statements to the government to rise and, take up the responsibility of serving the citizens.
In fact, if we see the summary of the discourse on that day, in fact, if we read the discourse that Bhagwan delivered on the 21st of January, he in fact stated the same thing as to why he took it up. He said that there are so many rich people in Madras. Couldn't anybody see the suffering of the poor? And just, I mean, it is not about doing something big. It is just about getting your heart to be moved. Bhagwan said that if your heart is moved, that's enough. Everything will happen. And Swami said, that's what happened actually. My heart got moved because I saw these children and I decided that how can people not have water to drink? And then Bhagwan went on to say that for such a kind of thing, what you need is purity and then unity. Everyone should come together without any kinds of distinctions, and if everyone comes together, miracles will keep happening day in and day out.
In fact, unity was one emphasis that was strongly given by Bhagwan during that discourse, and he said that the nation has to be united, and it was a time when this whole Telangana and Andhra state division had assumed a different proportion, and at that time, Swami had made some very, very strong statements about why the nation needs to be united and work towards that. And time and again in various other discourses as well, Swami said that the greatness of Bharat cannot be conquered. In fact, in spite of various invasions, Bharat remains or maintains its integrity because of its fundamental culture, spirituality and heritage. But the fact that we were invaded many times and the country succumbed to various other invasions was because of lack of unity. So this was one highlight which Swami gave in the discourse and said that you should not break the country into pieces. And
in fact, if we look at the water problem in Chennai and all, it's all because of that. It's not because there is no sufficient water in India.
Yes.
It's because of the lack of unity. It's because of the bickering and quarreling and fighting between the different states that water is not reaching.
Actually, you look at the project itself. You know, Swami being there in the conclave, we've been speaking about the project for the past 2 weeks, where we said that it all started off with probably a Supreme Court verdict which said that if these three states can spare this much of water, that water can go to this, you know, Kandaleru reservoir and that can be sent to Chennai. It was actually starting off from, you know, three states coming together to help a state which is, you know, nowhere connected to them. They are sparing their water so that it can come. And so many years later, I mean, this happened many decades ago, and Swami comes and Swami says, I'm going to do a water project. And we know that Swami always, you know, has his own way. He does not look for support from others to do something. But I think when this was brought to Swami, and Swami, this was tried before and it was left midway after 13 years, I think Swami looked at it as a blessing for that united feeling, you know, three states coming together and saying that we'll do this. And Swami standing that in that conclave after all this happening is like an endorsement of that unity, as we've seen many, many times, you know, when it comes to students doing a program. The quality may be lacking, you know, the profundity may be lacking, but Swami will always respond to that unity which is portrayed in the form of that expression of a program.
I think
Swami
was
doing that, right?
I think we discussed in one previous satsang wherein it was just an opinion, but we felt that rather than one individual doing 10 things for Bhagwan. But
Swami had said it himself. In fact, when Swami was speaking to Hyderabad youth, and they were showing Swami all their projects and all that, on one occasion, Swami made this very profound, very beautifully worded the way Swami expressed it. Swami said, see, tomorrow, if 10 of you come to Swami and said, Swami, each one of us has built one road in a village, Swami said, I'll be very happy that you've done this seva. But you come, 10 of you come to me and say, Swami, 10 of us together, we've built one road in a village. Swami said, I would be more happy. And, you know, with clearly showing that I'm not going by quantity, but the unity actually pleases me much, much more than anything else. And Swami was responding to that unity in that on that occasion. And also his message was reflecting that, you know, call for unity too.
Absolutely. And in fact, this theme of service was so vibrant that day. And out of the blue, in the middle of the discourse, you know, the discourse was assuming such energy and proportions in terms of what Bhagwan was saying. And suddenly in the middle of the discourse, can you believe what Swami did? The Sai Ma, the mother in our Bhagwan, kind of awakened in the middle of the discourse, in amidst all those. It was a beautiful scene, because if you can imagine a mela, that is a fair, where, you know, you go with your mother and you're holding her hand and there is lots of activity, so many things to do and all that. And suddenly the mother realizes that, you know, the child is no longer holding her hand or her sari. And she looks around and then she kind of asks, where is my son? Where is my son? So that kind of a scene happened in the middle of the discourse. And suddenly Swami said, Mana pillalu. Ekkada mana pillalu, where are my boys? Where are my boys? You know,
and we were, where are my children? Huh?
Where are my children? And all of us were seated on the left extreme to Bhagwan from the stage, right? And so it was not in the visible angle of Swami's vision. So Swami was like, suddenly in the middle of the discourse, he remembered that my children have come with me, you know. And then he asked, where are my children? Where are my children? And Anil Kumar Garu, who was translating the discourse, pointed out to where we were sitting and said, Swami, there. Swami said, huh, these are my boys. Swami pointed and said, these are my boys. Do you know, they hold high degrees. All of you get up. So he made all of us get up in front of the entire assembly. And then he said that these are boys who have high degrees. They have MBAs, they are PhDs. yet they have not gone about, you know, with begging bowls, seeking jobs for their employment, but they have decided to stay with Swami and serve Swami. Pallel pallel poi service chestaru mana pillalu, Swami declared on that day, you know. They go to every village, every nook and corner, every village and serve the villages, and that is their seva to Swami. This is what Swami's declaration, and proudly he presented his children to the entire world. So that was, I think, one of the greatest expression of motherhood that I have seen, you know.
You know, this experience, you know, brings two points to mind. First thing is that whether we are ready to accept it or not, believe it or not, in this whole world, it is only God who cares for us, nobody else. You know, I have got the chance of accompanying Swami to one or two places, and of course we were treated right royally there. But, you know, one thing which became very clear is we are being treated right royally because of Swami. Remove Swami and we are nobody. Absolutely. And in fact, that's what happened in, I won't name the places because it might lead to judgment. But when we traveled from place A to place B, when we arrived at place B, you know, there was so much excitement around Swami that finally we didn't have a place where we could keep our luggage, where we could go, what room, we had no idea. So what else? We just left the things in the vehicles itself and we just stood along the road we also thought we'll receive Swami. As soon as Swami was getting down from the car, there were 10-15 people offering rows, and these were all the bigwigs of the place B. And even before Swami could take the first rows, the first thing Swami said is, "Where are my children? Where are my children?" You know, standing there, I got off tears because Swami happened to see 2-3 of us, Sai Prakash and others who were there, and he said, "Ah, there you are. Are you all fine? Are you all..." You know, I got off tears thinking, Bhagwan, here is the whole world waiting for you, and yet you think over that. I'm sure this is the experience of every devotee, everyone who considers himself a child of God. Which brings me to the second point, that many times when Swami praises the students or Pillalu or my children in public, on that occasion, in that day, we feel thrilled, we feel happy, and of course it's something that we treasure in our heart. But once the occasion gets over, when we look back retrospectively and we think, we realize that this is the expectation Bhagwan has. When Swami says, my children don't look out for worldly benefits, my children may are very accomplished in the world, and yet they want to dedicate all their resources and skills for serving others, that is Bhagwan's expectation. That is what we have to do if we want to call ourselves his children. That becomes so very clear. When Swami says, my students are like this, many times we wonder, Swami, I don't do this actually, exactly. You are simply praising me. But we realize that Swami is saying that if you want to be my student, you have to be like this. You are a student of Satsang Institute of Higher Learning. That doesn't make you a Sai student, though it gives you an opportunity to become a Sai student. But even if you couldn't be a student of the Sri Satsang Institute of Higher Learning, if you can do this, you become mine, you become Sai student. And that is so beautiful, that is so wonderful, because it's so broad. It's not that somebody can look up at somebody and feel envious that, you know, these are the lucky guys, we have got nothing. No, Swami is never about exclusivity. Swami is always about inclusion.
In fact, I remember the farewell discourse that Swami gave for your batch. And in 2005, I think, for the postgraduate class. And in that discourse, Swami mentioned 6 points. And he said, my students are like this, like this, like this. He gave 6 points. And we were all wondering, Swami, but we don't actually live up to all these 6 points. Some of them, of course, Swami has trained us to be. But not all the 6 points. And Swami was like, my students are like this, like that. They get up in the morning, they have the previous night rice soaked, and they're very simple. They don't ask a simple breakfast. They don't demand much. So all these things, when we heard, we were confused. And but when we asked the elders what was Swami's indication to us, in fact, they told the same thing. The senior teacher said, see, this is Swami's expectation from his children. In fact, in that very discourse, Swami mentioned that if I can get 10 such students, you know, if I can get 10 such disciples, that is enough for me to change the world or transform the world. So, When Swami, of course, he's only choosing a representative sample to show that what his love is again a miracle of transformation. What his love has created, he's showing, so that he's saying, now soak in my love, you all can be my children, you all can be my students, you know. And Swami had, of course, on various occasions highlighted that when he says my students, it doesn't necessarily mean those who have been through the university, because he had made the distinction between his student and the university student at some point, right? But it was a kind of inspiration to everybody assembled, all the devotees and everybody alike, that see what my love can do, how it can transform lives, how a youth today with these kind of degrees and qualification, what will they run behind, and what has my love achieved. That was kind of a sample that Swami was presenting as an
inspiration. It also showed to everybody what you should do if you want to become worthy of Bhagwan's love.
Swami's son, Swami's child.
In fact, after that the discourse also, and Bhagwan actually took up, because I think his deeper objective of flooding the city of Chennai with the waters of bhakti and his love was complete, and therefore now officially the project could be completed. Bhagwan accepted, and it was on the 14th of April 2007, the day of the Tamil New Year. You know, all this is not coincidence. On that day, this is what Bhagwan had to say. Bhagwan said, the water of river Krishna reached up to the border of Tamil Nadu very smoothly without any wastage. But there was wastage of water after it entered Tamil Nadu border, as that part of the canal on the Tamil Nadu side was not repaired. It was envisaged that this work would be done by the Tamil Nadu government, but it has not been done so far. Naturally, the people were worried because the work had not been completed. Therefore, I have decided to undertake this task. And there was a loud applause. The length of the canal to be repaired towards Chennai is about 25 kilometers. The cost of repairing is about 30 to 40 crore rupees. There is no need for you to depend upon anybody else. It is enough if you pray to God. God can perform any task. Very soon I will complete this work so that the water reaches the people of Chennai in full measure. Shortly, I will send the engineers there. As there are breaches in the canal on the Tamil Nadu side, a lot of water is being wasted. After the repair work is done, adequate water will reach Satyamurti Sagar. Thus, Satyamurti Sagar will be filled with Satya Sai water. I will do this work. This will ensure permanent supply of water to Chennai. And that is what actually happened also, because with these reservoirs getting filled, the groundwater replenishment that took place, many of the hand pumps and borewells which had gone dry before, they also sprang to life with the Satya Sai Ganga.
In fact, this highlights one other aspect of, because Bhagavan's facets, if we are to describe, it's almost impossible, as it is said, you know, in our scriptures, that even if all the trees in the world were to assume the form of a paper and all the ocean become the ink, it is still impossible to describe the glory of Bhagavan. It's endless. But one very, very key aspect which Swami expected again from youngsters, especially in Bharat, is patriotism. It is service to the nation. In fact, Swami exemplified, he himself was the greatest example of a patriot. And I remember at the end of the conclave, because it is an official government event as well, all government events have to end with the national anthem. And Swami had many a times told, even in Prashanti Nilayam, that you should proudly sing the national anthem and not just play the music and, be in silence.
It's not an instrumental piece.
It's not an instrumental piece. And the bhava that is associated, especially with the national anthem of Bharat, Janagana Mana, is extraordinary, because it declares, though there are many perceptions about what this word means, but from Swami's point of view, it is absolutely clear that there is a Bharata Bhagya Vidata, because God time and again decides to incarnate in the sacred land. And He is the Bharata Bhagya Vidata.
Meaning the one who controls the destinies of Bharat.
Bharat. And Swami in fact expands the geography of Bharat and says, Bharata means one who has love for God. Now this definition of Bharat even transcends the geographical boundaries. But predominantly the geography that is encased by the great Himalayas. and the Indian Ocean. You know, Swami on that day, when there was a choir, there were singers ready to sing the national anthem, and Swami turns towards the chief minister and makes a request, and he says, "Can my boys sing the national anthem today?"
Wow.
You know, and the chief minister immediately, you know, agreed, and he said, "Swami, whatever you say, definitely they can sing." And immediately Swami turned towards the boys and said, "Hey boys, come stage paina randi, come quickly onto the stage." So in a single file, all of us,
and in that single instant, I think all security protocols,
everything was gone.
Nobody would have stopped.
So
that is what you get when you are with Bhagwan.
Yeah.
When you have the one who gives security to the entire universe, I don't think you need to worry about anybody else.
Absolutely. And in fact, in single file, we all got onto the stage. And that was, I think, the most sacred and scintillating national anthem that inspires me even today, where Swami called us and said, "Ippudu paadandi." So we were literally standing in front of entire Bharat, a sample that was assembled there in the stadium. Through the media, the whole country was watching, and next to us was Bharata Bhagya Vidata himself, Bhagwan himself seated, and he gave the instructions, "Paadandi, now sing the national anthem." And those were the most scintillating minute. You know, national anthem is to be sung in 52 seconds, and possibly the most inspiring and scintillating 52 seconds where the entire glory of Bharat stood before our eyes in the safe and secure hands of Bharat Bhagya Vidata, our beloved Swami.
Just to conclude that entire conclave itself, just going back to the politics of Tamil Nadu and the Dravidian movement of which Mr. Karunanidhi and his party were all part of. You know, the whole thing started off as a social reform movement. And, you know, in the core of any social reform, the idea is that people are suffering. And, you know, be it because of caste reasons or be it because of religious differences. And also that anger that there cannot be God who will see his children suffer like this. You know, anything, be it communism or be it any form of agnostic belief, it comes from, will God see children suffer like this? But in the course of that agony, in the course of that genuine anger, we forget that the same God who is probably overseeing problems has also given us solutions. And what Swami did was nothing but that. You know, one individual with just a little bit of focus for not very long, just for 13 months, and probably 13 months and a few months after that, can bring succor to a problem which is centuries old. Right, you know, that is what Swami is giving as a message eventually. You know, don't say that, look at the problems and say, oh, there cannot be God when people are suffering like this, when there are problems like this. Swami is saying the solutions are so simple and it's in your hand. It's amongst you. All you need is just to get up and say, let me do the work which people do. And you know, even that Swami has come and performed it in front of us and said that it's so easy. And you know, it's not only a service to people, but it is also a reaffirmation of faith. I think it's a call for all people who are saying that we are devotees of God and we are devotees of Swami. Don't go about talking about devotion. Get up and do work. Automatically, it will reaffirm the people's faith in the presence of God. You know, it's almost like an entire drama which Swami has played out to send that message that it's not about speaking about devotion, but it's also about acting, which will automatically spread the word of there is God and God is amongst us.
In fact, I feel the conclave was a reflection of the three P's. Usually it would be purity, patience and perseverance. But I would see those three P's that day as purity, perseverance and patriotism. Purity of intention, perseverance to serve humanity at any cost, and patriotism being the driving force that, you know, to give back in gratitude all that the motherland and our mother has given to us. I think purity, perseverance and patriotism was kind of the theme that floats in my mind as memory of that wonderful event.
On that note, dear listeners, we will bring this satsang to a close. We hope you enjoyed the entire Chennai Water Project over the three satsangs. We are grateful to Bhagwan for having given us this opportunity to go through his leela, go through his mahima, and in the process benefit ourselves the most. Offering it at his lotus feet with all love and humility, we will end with a song, on the other side of which, as always, you'll be greeted by Brother Chandu with his segment, Love to Love.
Sai Namam, Sai Namam, Satya Namam, Vargave, Parthivarum, Parma Namam, Pavitra Namam, Vargave, Kavi Udayil, Jodhi Vadil, Tondrum Sai Namam, Vadi, பாசத்தை பரிசாய் தந்தாய் சாய் ராமா. சாயினி வழி சரணாகதி, உயிரோயினி உனக்கேயன ஸ்ரீபதத்தில் பாதத்தில் கலந்த பின் வேறு ஜென்மம் ஏ.
Thank you.
ಪತಿ ತಲ್ಲಿ ತಂದ್ರಿಗೆ